Good morning. Today's Daf and Darim is, hey, we're on Dalet Amud Beis. We're starting at the two dots right in the middle of the Amud. And we're going to introduce ourselves today to Yadayim HaMochichos, Yadayim Shein Mochichos. So let's just do a quick introduction before we start with the Gemara. So we know there's something called a Yad, meaning that already we established in the Mishnah. The Mishnah had it. You are not going to see in the Mishnah. In fact, if you just turn back a couple of pages and just go to the opening Mishnah, which takes up the entirety of Beis Amud Aleph, so the Mishnah says, Kol Kinui Nedarim Nedarim. Sorry, Kol Kinui Nedarim Kinedarim. So if you use a corrupted language, even though you're not using like real language, but you're using some sort of whatever, let's say right now different language, so that works. That works as a neder. So that's what's called Kinuyim. Okay, good. And we haven't really explored what exactly is a Kinui is because it's coming up. In other words, the upcoming Mishnayos are going to be describing exactly what a Kinui looks like. I already told you a number of times we're going to see the word Konam. Konam is what? It's the word carbon. It's just instead of saying the word carbon, we say Konam. What is that? It's called the Kinui. All right. We'll come back to that, and we'll discuss it in more detail later in the Masechta. And then, encrypted in the Mishnah, now again, you're not going to see it in the Mishnah, and that is called Yados Nedarim Kinedarim, right? You see that in the Mishnah? And of course, the answer is no, you don't see that in the Mishnah, and the reason why is because it's not there. But when we did the Gemara, so the Gemara taught us that you have to edit the Mishnah. You have to add that into the Mishnah. Meaning that really what the Mishnah is doing is it's introducing two topics. It's a Kinui Neder and a Yad Neder. So Kinui Neder, again, to be discussed later in the Masechta, later in the Perek, by the way, we don't have to wait that long. And then Yados. Okay, so what's a Yad? So we already introduced this idea, but today we're going to be talking all about Yados, and that is Yad is the handle. So what does that mean? It means that I don't make a full sentence. Okay, in order to impart a communication information from one person to another, so you write a full sentence, and you know, for a good part of high school, so they try to teach me how to write a full sentence. I'm not sure if I'm successfully able to navigate an entire sentence, but in other words, but a full sentence with a clear intent of what I'm meaning. If, however, I make a fragment sentence and it's not a complete sentence, and you know, points will be deducted if you were in school. But, in other words, but it's pretty clear what I mean, okay? And you're going to hear this in the course of school. It happens to be, you know, I'm still in the school building. Okay, good. And every now and another, I don't teach English for good reason, but every now and then I hear, but that's what I meant, right? In other words, but that's what I meant. So by a yad, effectively, that's what we're going to be discussing. You didn't make a full sentence. You made a partial sentence, a fragment sentence, but that's what I meant. Okay, fine. And does that work? Yes. And what level does it work? Min haTorah, you make a fragment sentence of a neder that you're trying to communicate, so that will now operate as a neder min haTorah, and that's called Yados. Okay, good. So far, everything we set up until now has been wonderful chazara of since the beginning of the Masechta. But now we're going to advance the discussion a little bit more. And that is that when even within the world of Yad, there are two types of Yados. There's a Yad HaMochiach and Yad Shein Mochiach. Okay, Yad HaMochiach. Yad HaMochiach means it's a handle, it's a fragment sentence, but it's clear what I'm saying. Okay, in other words, yes, it's true, because it's a fragment sentence, so it's not abundantly clear, and yes, there is a little bit of ambiguity, but in other words, but it's pretty much understood, this is what I meant. There could be another interpretation, but unlikely. Good. So that's called Yad HaMochiach. The word Mochiach literally means it's evident. So the sentence is pretty evident, self-evident in terms of what it's meant, even though it's not a full sentence. Good. Everyone's going to be of the position that a Yad HaMochiach works. That part's clear. Now, what if it's a Yad She'ein Mochiach? Yad She'ein Mochiach means the following. It's a real fragment sentence. It's like it could barely scrape together a couple of words in order to communicate what I'm thinking. It could be interpreted one way, but could also be interpreted another way as well. There are two, let's call them equally fair interpretations of the sentence. So with that kind of ambiguity, but really what I meant is a neder. Is that going to qualify as a neder? So this is what's called a Yad She'ein Mochiach. And if you can imagine, you don't have to because I'm telling you right now, even though we're really going to see at the end of the daf today, it's Machlokas. Machlokas amongst the Tanaim and the Amoraim, whether or not that will serve as a Yad or will not serve as a Yad. Some Tanaim are of the position that it serves as the Yad. Some Tanaim are of the position it does not serve as the Yad. And the same thing with the Amoraim as well. As we're going to see by the end of today, Shmuel is going to side with the sheet of Rabbi Huna that it has to be a Yad HaMochiach, and a Yad She'ein Mochiach does not qualify as a Yad. Okay, that's basically, I just gave away the end of today's stuff. But that's basically what we're going to be discussing and deliberating today. Okay, in terms of the details of today's daf, which we're about to start right now, so it gets a little bit tricky. In other words, the Gemara is a little bit difficult to read and interpret, but obviously we're going to make our best in terms of getting through the Gemara. But meanwhile, that's the basic idea. In other words, to walk away from today, understand the distinction between a Yad HaMachiach Shiachein Mochiach. Yad HaMachiach is a fragment sentence, but pretty much understood what was intended and what was meant. That works, and that serves as a Yad for a Neder. And now you have made a Neder min HaTorah. And if it's the Yad She'ein Mochiach, which we're about to litigate in the Gemara, whether it works or whether it doesn't work, it's Machlokas, whether or not it serves as a Yad. And we're going to see Shmuel's position is going to be that a Yad She'ein Mochiach does not serve as a Yad. That will be the opinion of Shmuel. Good. Right? Usually I review at the end of the daf, but in other words, that's basically what we're going to see today. Let's get underway. So we're starting today on Dal Amud Beis, and we're going to be starting at the two dots. Ha'omer L'chavero. Ha'omer L'chavero Mudarani. So now, obviously, the Mishnah is going to be a launching, a springboard. I got caught between my metaphors. I was going to say launching pad, and then I went to springboard. Okay, anyway. So the Mishnah is going to be the springboard in terms of this entire discussion, because the Mishnah gives examples of Yados, right? And by the way, that's what confused the Gemara at the beginning of the entire Masechta. Meaning the Mishnah opened up with, here's Kinuyim, and then it gives examples of Yados. Okay, so remember what we did. We added it to the Mishnah. Fine. But Ha'omer L'Chavera, I'm going back to the Mishnah. I'm just reading the examples in the Mishnah. Ha'omer L'Chavera, Mudranim Imcha. Okay, that's a two-word sentence. But now, let's look at that Mishnah carefully. Because the Mishnah doesn't stop there. Sha'ani ochalach. Sha'ani toim lach. Right? I'm not going to eat from you and I'm not going to taste from you. So what just happened in the Mishnah? Meaning, is the Mishnah giving all these different examples? Are all these partial phrases? Possibly not. Maybe what the Mishnah means is, mudrani mimcha, mufreshani mimcha, merchakani mimcha, and then add to that, shani ochalach and shani tomlach. Meaning, it's that you have to take a selection from one of the first three phrases, put it together with the selection of the last two phrases, then and only then have you made a yad. Right? You see what just happened there in the Mishnah? So in other words, in the Mishnah itself, it's not perfectly clear what is the base minimum that needs to be said in order for it to be in order for it to qualify as a yad. Good. So what we are about to litigate is, what is the base minimum that you need to say? And again, all this is a predicate of, what if it's a yad she'en mochiach? It's so few words, I kind of know what he's saying, but it's not abundantly clear. So, Amar Shmuel, Bechulan, in all three of the examples of the Mishnah, Ad she'omer shani ochalach shani tomlach. So Shmuel says it really clearly, at least at this point, yes. And that is that Shmuel says that the way to properly understand the Mishnah is that when you say, in any one of the first three phrases of the Mishnah, again, we have Mudran Mimcha, Mufreshani Mimcha, and Mirchukan Mimcha. So Shmuel says, do you know when it's a neder? Only when you attach to it the Ani Ochalach or Ani Toimlach. Okay. Just as a really technical point, by the way, in the Mishnah, we have either Sha'ani Ochalach, which is the girsa that we have in the Mishnah. The Ran also entertains She'ini Ochalach. Mm-hmm. Now it happens to be that they are wildly different than one another. She'ini means I'm not eating. Sha'ani Ochalach just simply means that me, Ochalach, the food is usher to you, which in just a moment we're going to explain that even a little bit better. Okay, the Ran says that his personal preference is to have the girsa the way we have in the Mishnah, Sha'ani Ochalach. Okay, anyway, because She'ini Ochalach sounds more like a Shvu than it does like a Neder, but again, I don't want to get too bogged down in the details. Let's just keep right now to the point of the Gemara, which is that according to Shmuel, the phrases have to be put together, then and only then do you have a Yad. Okay, so, the Gemara now is going to be challenging Shmuel from a Braisa. Mudani mimcha, mufreshani mimcha, merchakani mimcha, chareza aser. Shani ochalach, shani tomlach, chareza aser. Now, you see what just happened in the Braisa? The Braisa said the same thing as the Mishnah. However, in the Braisa, after the first three phrases, what did the Braisa say? Chareza aser. Meaning, hard stop. And then the Braisa says, shani ochalach, shani tomlach, chareza aser. Once again, hard stop. So in the Braisa, it sounds like each one of the phrases by themselves creates a yad. And that's, and obviously that goes against Shmuel. So Hachi Ketanis, so the, according to Shmuel, the yad is it's not a full sentence, but at least it has to be it has to be somewhat comprehensible, not somewhat, it has to be very comprehensible.
Together, it becomes a full sentence.
Shmuel assumes no. Shmuel assumes that still, even when together, it's not a full sentence. No. Okay, again, I'll let the grammarians. Tell me what the full sentence would look like. Right. But in other words, but Shmuel's of the position, no. Right. Okay. By the way, you're right. Meaning the bigger Chiddush obviously would tell me that each of these phrases by themselves would serve as the yad. That'd be the bigger Chiddush. Shmuel is resisting that. Shmuel's saying, I'm not going to go with the bigger Chiddush. I'm going to say that you have to string together the two phrases. So the Gemara says, Hachi ketani b'med v'ar mamor and ba'omer sheni ochalach sheni tomlach. Okay. So the Gemara tries to dance around the Braisa. The Braisa means that you really put them together. That's what the Braisa means. Again, it's not a simple reading of the Braisa. And in a moment, the Gemara is, and the Ram points this out. And in a moment, the Gemara is going to point out the words Aser Lach, right? Hareza Aser. Sorry. When the Braisa says Hareza Aser, clearly the Braisa is making a break between the first half and the second half. Anyway, the Gemara is going to point that out, but Vatanya Ida, Vatanya Ipcha. We have another Braisa as well. Shani Ochalach, Shani Toim Lach Aser, Mufreshan Mimcha, Merchukan Mimcha Hareza Aser. Here in this Braisa, same thing. Meaning you have the Hareza Aser in the Braisa breaking up the first half and the second half. And it certainly sounds like in this Braisa, any one of these phrases by themselves would create Iser. So the Gemara says, okay, so once again, we're going to try to dance around the Braisa. So, Tani Hachi, Kvar Amar Mudrani. Okay, so in the Braisa, when you say, Shani Ochalach or Shani Tomlach, that's only when you also said Mifreshan Mimcha. Again, it's an attempt to read the Braisa so that it fits in with Shmuel. I Hachi, Hainu Reisha. The Gemara says, okay, you know what? I'm not buying it because then the format of the second Braisa should be like the format of the first Braisa. Right? The Ran points out over here that even though the Gemara says Hainu Reisha, the Ran says it doesn't mean first and second half of the Braisa. There are two different Braisas. The point the Gemara is making is the following. If really the interpretation of the Braisa is like what we're trying to say, the two phrases have to be joined together, so then why would the Braisa be so flippant about which series of phrases go first? In other words, in Braisa number one, you had the Mufushanim Mudrani Mimcha, they were going first. And in the second Braisa, the Mufushanim Mudrani Mimcha, they were going second. It doesn't make sense that the Braisas would be so flippant about it. So, and also on top of that, V'od Aser Aser Lama Lila Misne. And then, as Aran points out, this is a knockout punch. Meaning, the Braisa also says Aser, Hareza Aser. Meaning, clearly what the Braisa was doing was making a break, a division between the first half and the second half. So what comes out now is that the Braisas clearly are not working together with Shmuel's position. So Ella Amar Shmuel. So Shmuel will tell you the following. Okay, you're right. So Taima da Amar Shani Ochalach Shani Tomlach Hu da Aser Chaver Muter. So Shmuel will say like this. You know what we gain from the Mishnah when you say the word Shani Ochalach or when you say the word Shani Tomlach. So here's what you're saying. Who aser chaver mutter? You become aser to him, and your friend becomes mutter to, not becomes, remains mutter to you. Okay, now again, let's just pause for a moment over here. Let me just give a quick background in terms of what a neder can do and what a neder can't do. So here's what a neder can do. I can make myself aser to any of my food. I can make myself aser to any of your food. Okay. I can make you aser to any of my food. What of course I can't do is I can't make you usher to your very own food. Okay, obviously I can't do that. So, when you're making a neder and you're broadcasting over here, so what are you saying in terms of are you going one direction or are you going bidirectional? Now, it could be that in your neder you want nothing to do with one another. I don't want him to benefit from me and I don't want me to benefit from him. What do you have to say in order to communicate that idea? So, what the Gemara now is telling us is that according to Shmuel, that's what our Mishnah is coming to teach us. Meaning, because again, according to Shmuel, our Mishnah really becomes a source of the idea that you need, obviously the Mishnah is introducing Yad. And Shmuel's of the position that the two phrases of the Mishnah have to be strung together. Otherwise, it's not even a yad. So then, if that's true, what's the point of the Mishnah? So this is what the Gemara now is suggesting, that according to Shmuel, the point of the Mishnah is that when you communicate and you're using a yad, are we going one direction, meaning I'm going to be usher to you, or bidirectional, I'm usher to you and you're usher to me? And again, just to be clear, I'm usher to you, meaning that I'm not eating your food and you're usher to me, you're not eating my food. In other words, the neder can go in two directions. And here's how it's going. El Amar Shmuel, Damar Shani, Time Damar Shani, Ochalach Shani, Tom Lach, Hu Daser Vechaveru Mutter. When I say Ani Ochalach, it means I'm not eating your food. You can come over to me and you can eat my food. But in other words, I'm not eating your food. Again, the motivation over here in terms of why specifically one direction as opposed to two directions, who knows, right? I'm not here to try to figure out people's motivations, certainly in terms of Nedarim, but whatever the case is. Aval Amar Mudrani Heimech L'chudei Shneim Asurim. But instead of saying the word Sha'ani Ochel Lach or Sha'ani Toim Lach, you just simply say Mudrani Heimech, right? I want to be distant from you. The word Mudrani, difficult word to translate in of itself, but basically, let's just say it like this. I want distance from you. So if you say it like that and then you don't add the word ani, so then it's bidirectional. Then I'm not, this neder is causing two isurim to occur. I can't eat your food and you're not allowed to eat my food. And now what comes out is the way we're interpreting Shmuel is basically like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. I say it like as if we heard it before. We haven't heard it before, but okay, good. In other words, Shmuel basically now is on board with Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. So, Tanan. So the Gemara says, okay, let's go back to our Mishnah. Hareini Alecha Cherem. Okay, now let's not go back to our Mishnah. So this is a Mishnah coming up later in the Masechta, actually much later in the Masechta. Hareini Alecha Cherem. So, Hamudar Aser, V'amadir madir lo. So, I am, hareini alecha, I am to you, cheirem. Cheirem basically means iser. Okay, so that means that the mudar is aser. Mudar now is the other person, right? The madir is the one who is declaring the neder. The mudar is the person against. So, in that case, mudar aser and madir, but not the madir. So, the Gemara says, now, by leaving out the word ani, shouldn't it be bidirectional? So the Gemara says, could go into Parash Va'at Alaylo. So the Gemara says, well, maybe over there in that Mishnah, maybe you clarified. Meaning, in Achinami, had you just simply said, Hareini Alecha Cherem, so then maybe it would be bidirectional. However, if you clarify and you say, Va'at Alaylo, but you're not going to be answered to me, okay, so maybe that's what's going on over there. At Alay Cherem, I know there also Va'amud Alom. So, we're looking at another section of that Mishnah. You are to me Cherem. So any hana that is coming in your direction from me is going to be cherem. So there, hanoder aser, other way around. Any hana coming to me from you is going to be aser. So the noder is aser and the mudar, but not the mudar, va mudar lo. So again, by inserting the word at, we knew that already. Could go into parish, va ana alecha lo. So the Gemara says, okay, once again, over there you clarified and you said that va'ana alecha lo, but not from me to you. Aval stam amai shneim asurim. So the Gemara says, okay. So with clarification, it becomes only one direction. Without clarification, it's bidirectional. So the Gemara says, mai shneim asurim hadiktani seifa hareini alecha va'atalai shneim asurim. So then the Mishnah, again, this is later in the Masechta. The Mishnah says, when you say hareini alecha va'atalai, then and only then is it bidirectional. So the Gemara says, so why should that be? So hadenu d'shnei masurim hastama hu aser v'chaver mutter. Without saying that, without inserting that clause, it sounds like it's only one directional. Ela hachi itmar. So the Gemara says, okay. So what we'll have to do is the following. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, we're going to set up again. So the Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, mudar ani lecha shnei masurim. So, if you say mudar ani lecha, so from the fact that it says the word lecha, So it is understood in one of two ways. Lecha can mean that you are going to be asr from me, and I'm going to be asr from you. Mudrani heimech hu asr v'chaver mutter. Ah, but if I say not lecha, but rather from you, that's heimech. So in other words, that's only from you. So that means that the nodir is going to be asr, but his friend is going to be mutter. Okay. V'hamasis in diktani heimech. So the Gemara says, okay, but the meanwhile, the Mishnah says the words heimech, v'kinu l'masisan l'shmuel b'kulan, and Shmuel says that it's referring to both parties. So the ad shi'omar shani tom lach v'shani ochalach hudas v'chever mutar, ava b'mudrani heimech shnei masurim. But if I say Mudrani Hemech, they're both going to be Aser. And we just got done saying that Hemech is not bilateral, it's not bidirectional, but rather it's only going in one direction. Ela Mikara, de Shmuel Hachi Itmar. So the Gemara says, you're right. So what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to explain Shmuel differently. And that is, Taima, the Amr Shani Ochalach Veshani Tomlach. Hu de Ein, Hu Aser, Ela Be'achila. Hamudrani Memcha, Aser Afila Be'hana. Okay. So now what Shmuel wants to be medayik from the Mishnah is the following. Now, I know at this point in time it gets a little bit confusing. Let me just set this up again so that we understand what's happening over here. Once again, Shmuel's of the position that as far as the Mishnah is concerned, the Mishnah has two series of phrases, right? Again, you go back to the Mishnah. Okay, this is just hopefully going to clarify a little bit better what's happening right now in the Gemara. You have in the Mishnah, you have two series of phrases. The first series of phrases are, Mudrani mimcha, mufreshani mimcha, merchakani mimcha. Okay? And then pause. And then the next series of phrases is shani ochalach and shani tomlach. So what does that do? That creates a neder. That's a yad. Shmuel's of the position that it's not five separate phrases, but rather it's a series of two sets. And what you have to do in order for it to be a neder is you have to string together. You have to take the words Mudrani Mimcha or Mufreshani Mimcha or Mirchukani Mimcha and you have to add it to Shani Ochalach and Shani Tomlach. Then and only then is it a yad. Okay, now, if that's true, which is Shmuel's position, that's part clear, so then what's the Mishnah teaching me? Meaning it'd make a lot more sense for the Mishnah to just simply say that each phrase is by themselves is considered a yad. That's a bigger chiddush. That would be one way to learn the Mishnah. Shmuel's not learning the Mishnah that way. And so what the Gemara is struggling with right now, right? We're in the middle of the Gemara really attempting to figure out, well, if for Shmuel, he's not ready to adopt the bigger Chiddush in the Mishnah. So what is the Chiddush of the Mishnah? What is the Mishnah trying to teach us? That's what we're trying to wrap our heads around, according to Shmuel. So the Gemara says, Ela hachi itmar. Good. So that's what we're trying to figure out. We are on Hey Amud Aleph. We're more than halfway down on the Amud. So the Gemara says like this: The Amar Shani Ochalach Veshani Tom Lachudaser Ava Mudrani Hemech. No, I'm sorry, I skipped a little bit. Elam Ikara. Okay, sorry. Elam Ikara De Shmuel Hachi Itmar. So this is how Shmuel understands our Mishnah. So Taima De Amar Shani Ochalach Veshani Tom Lachuda Hu De In Hu Aser Elab Achila. So if you say the words of Shani Ochalach or Shani Tomlach, so the Isser is created, but it's only an Isser and Achila. Mudrani Mimcha, Asr Afila Bahana. But when I say Mudrani, what I'm trying to say is I want total distance from you. Meaning I don't just simply want to not eat your food. I don't want to get any kind of benefit from anything that you have. So according to Shmuel, the Chiddush of the Mishnah is, aside from teaching us about the idea of Yados, the Chiddush of the Mishnah is that when I say, Atoim ani lecha, or ochel lecha, well, the Isser is only an Isser of Achila. So, I hachile mishmo hachi, v'im lo amar shani ochelach v'shini tom lach, asur afila bahana. So the Gemara says, really, that's what Shmuel is trying to teach us, so why didn't Shmuel say that as clearly as we just said it? Meaning, it's hard to imagine that that's what Shmuel wants to teach us, and meanwhile, Shmuel didn't say that. Ela hachi itmar. Okay, so the Gemara says, okay, so this is what he meant. And that is Taima da Amar Shani Ochalacha Vashini Tom Lachu da Asr. Ava Amar Mudrani Hemcha Lo Mashma da Amar Asr. So we're going to go in the other direction. And that is the following. If he says the word Shani Ochalach or Shani Toim Lach, So that creates Isser. But if all you just say just the words by themselves, Mudrani Hemech, and you don't say the word Ani, and all you're just simply saying is Mudrani Hemech, that by itself doesn't create anything. In other words, it's not even a yad. My timer. So Mudrani Memcha lo mishtam behadech mashma. When you say Mudrani Memcha, you're just basically saying, you know what I want from you? I just don't want to talk to you. In other words, and yes, true, you're certainly showing and displaying displeasure with the other individual, but you're not creating a neder, you're just simply saying, I don't want to talk to you. And the words Mudrani Memcha is just simply code for no more conversation. Mufushan Memcha dola avina memcha b'mata mashma. Mufushan Memcha could just simply be understood, I don't want to do business with you anymore. And when you say the words it means that I don't want to be in your vicinity anymore. Okay, so what comes out now is that according to Shmuel, what the Mishnah is coming to teach me is that in terms of the base minimum of what needs to be said, you have to say she'ani ochal lecha. Alternatively, she'ani toim lecha. Then what you're directing is a statement of displeasure, but also, I'm not eating your food. In other words, that's an eder. And also, right, according to Shmuel, you have to add the two phrases of the Mishnah together. But you have to say an actual action point. If all but what you say is that I want distance from you, that in of itself is not going to create an eder, because it could just be understood to mean that, yes, I want to distance myself from you, but not via an eder. Okay, so what comes out is the following over here, that Shmuel's of the position that in order for a neder to be chal, so you have to use the examples of our Mishnah, but according to Shmuel, you have to take a phrase from section A, string it together with a phrase from section B, then and only then do you have a neder. Meaning, it's a yad, but it has to be more formed sentence. On the other hand, the brisos, which we quoted already this morning, clearly are not of that opinion. The Brisa says that you could take any phrase that we saw, right? Mudrachan Mimcha, alternatively, Mufreshan Mimcha, Mirchukan Mimcha. You could take any one of those phrases by itself, and that's going to be a yad. So what we have over here is a machlokas between Shmuel and the Brisos. Okay, hopefully you'll ask me in just a moment, how can Shmuel argue with the Brisa? And the answer is because Shmuel is subscribing to other Tanaim, who we're going to be introduced to in just a moment. And so what comes out over here is that what is the base minimum amount that needs to be formulated in order to create a neder? According to the Brisas, just a single phrase by itself. According to Shmuel, insufficient. You have to take the word Shani Ochalach and add it to Mudrani Mimcha Mufreshani Mimcha. Okay, good. So that's the opinion of Shmuel, and that goes against the Brisa and Lema. And now as we turn to the top of Hamud Beis, finally the Gemara says it. Meaning, it's funny, by the way, we started the whole sugya today, and the Gemara didn't articulate these words, okay, but here it is. So the Gemara says, okay, so now, if I'm putting everything together, here's the conclusion we're arriving at. According to Shmuel, you know what Yadayim Shem Mochichas is considered? Nothing. It's Eina Yadayim. Okay, and again, I said this in the beginning of today's daf, just so that we're really clear about this. So Yadayim Shem Mochichas means the following. It's a fragment sentence. It could be interpreted as neder, but it could just as well be interpreted other way as well, right? Like the example we just saw together. When I say to somebody, Mufreshan Mimcha, I want there to be distance between me and you. You could have meant a neder. You could have meant something else as well. I just simply want distance there to be between me and you. I don't want to be in your vicinity. But in other words, but you weren't saying neder. So this is what's called the Yad Shein Mochiach. Is this going to serve as a yad for a neder? So the Brisa would say yes. Shmuel would say no. Why? Because Shmuel's of the position that a Yad Shein Mochiach does not qualify as a Yad. According to Shmuel, the only kind of Yad that would work is a Yad HaMochiach. Again, I said this in the beginning of Shir, but let's say it again. A Yad HaMochiach means it's a fragment sentence, but it's pretty clear what I meant. You could interpret it another way, but it's unlikely. Right? The alternate interpretation is really unlikely, and the more standard interpretation is probably what I meant, and that's what's called the Yad HaMochiach. And the Gemara just simply acknowledges you're 100% correct in Shmuel Mukim Lamasisen Kareb Yehuda Dami Yadayim She Mochichas Lohavim Yadayim. And what Shmuel will tell you is, yeah, that's our Mishnah. Now again, I say that's our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is not abundantly clear, But this is Shmuel's assertion in the Mishnah, that in the Mishnah, when it says Mudranim Mimcha, Mufashanim Mimcha, Murchukanim Mimcha, you have to add then any one of the phrases of Shani Ochalach, Shani Toimlach. Meaning then and only then is it considered a Yad HaMuchiach. So that's the, and what about the brises that we quote in the beginning of today's daf? Shmuel argues with those brises. Again, he'll say that our Mishnah argues with those brises. So the Gemara says, yes, and Shmuel Mokim Las Mitzvah, Rabbi Yehuda, Dam Yadayim, Shem Mechichas Lav Yadayim. And oh, by the way, who's on board with this idea? Rabbi Yehuda. How do I know that? Did none. So, cause here we have a Mishnah in Gittin. This is well into the Masechta. Gufo shall get. Right? What is the actual text of the get? Right? Classic Gemara, by the way. In other words, how do you actually write the get? What's the format of the get? What's the Nusach get? And so basically at the tail end of the Masechta, do we finally get what the Nusach is going to be? Okay. So, and what is the Masechta been discussing up until that point in time? A lot of the other issues. But, okay, anyway. Gufa shall get Hare at Materas L'chol Adam. So the get's going to read that your mutter, you can marry anyone you want. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, V'dein de'ahav aleichei, that which I'm giving you right now, meaning this piece of paper, this document, minai sefer terichon v'igar shivukin. This is the letter that's effecting the divorce between me and you. Good. So what is Rabbi Yehuda adding? Exactly. In other words, what Rabbi Yehuda is adding is clarity. In other words, the words Abmatar Sechol Adam just simply mean, okay, you're free to go. Well, what's creating the severance? What's effecting it? Oh, it's this document. Rabbi Yehuda says, I understood that that's understood, but that's not understood. In other words, you have to say it out. You have to write it out in the document itself. Then and only then we're going to have clarity. So you see that according to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, it has to be a Yad HaMochiach. Otherwise, it's not going to be considered. It doesn't have enough effect. So I'm my dachik shmo lokum lemasis and Rabbi Yehuda lokma karabban and afagav dein yaday mochichos. So the Gemara says, what motivated Shmuel? Meaning, you could have interpreted the Mishnah, our Mishnah, our first Mishnah, like the Braisas. Each phrase by themselves is going to be significant. Not that you have to take a phrase from series one and add it to a phrase from series two, and then and only then are you going to have a neder. You didn't have to do that. But Shmuel insisted that's the way to understand the Mishnah. And then he has the Mishnah going on and aligning with the Shita Rabbi Yehuda. Why? What motivated him? So the Gemara says, I'm a Rav, Masisa Kashise. So Rav tells you that as far as the Mishnah is concerned, the Mishnah bothered him. What bothered him about the Mishnah? My Tani Shani Ochalach Shani Toim Lach. Listen, Shani Ochal Shani Toim. The Mishnah could have just simply said Shani Ochal Shani Toim. Meaning, remember, the whole point of the Mishnah is that I want to give you examples of Yad. What's Yad? Yad is reductionist. Meaning, give me the smallest number of words that you could possibly give me, and that in of itself will communicate that we have a neder, that I'm bound by a neder against you. And in the Mishnah, instead of saying Shani Ochel Shani Toim, and leaving out the word Lacha or Lach, by the way, just grammatically, you probably notice this when you read Chumash, right? When you see any word that ends with a comma, it's at the end of the pasuk. So what happens is that it, instead of Lacha, becomes Lach. Okay. Anyway. You can ignore that. So Shani Ochalach Shani Tom Shmamina Beinan Yaday Mochichos, meaning by virtue of the fact that the Mishnah did not say Shani Ochel Shani Toim and not add the word Lacha, so that in of itself would have been grounds to suggest that the Mishnah is going like the Braisa, because what are the other examples of the Mishnah? The other examples of the Mishnah are Mudrani Mimcha. So then what would complement it is Shani Ochel or Shani Toim. By virtue of the fact that the Mishnah has to add the word Lacha, which seemed to be unnecessary, that's the tip off. That told Shmuel that those last two phrases are attachments to the earlier phrases. Shmamina be'inan yadayin mochichos. So that's what led Shmuel to the conclusion that in the Mishnah, only when I add those two phrases together, anything from the first to anything of the second, then and only then is it going to be considered a neder. Okay. We're going to stop over here. Itmar Yadayim Shei Mochichos, Machlokas between Abai and Rava. We're going to start the Machlokas, Abai and Rava tomorrow. Let's quickly recap our daf today. So what happened today's daf? So what we litigated is a Yad She'ein Mochiach, meaning in our Mishnah, we're introduced to the concept of Yadayim. Yadayim tells me that it's a fragment sentence is still going to work as a neder. It still is a bona fide 100% neder, even though you didn't make the complete sentence, even though you made a fragment sentence. How much of a fragment sentence is going to work as a fragment sentence? So here you have a basic machlokas between Tanaim and Amoraim. So there are those who are of the position that if it's a yachin mochiach, it's a fragment sentence that's not abundantly clear what I meant, with two very possible understandings of what I meant, it still operates as a neder. Okay. That is the position of what seems to be the Chachamim in that Mishnah Gittin, and certainly the Brises, meaning on the Amud Aleph of today's Daf, and Hamud Aleph, we quoted two Brises that clearly are of the position that any one of these phrases by themselves is going to be considered a Yad. However, when Shmuel looked at our Mishnah, what Shmuel saw in our Mishnah is, no. In order for it to be considered a Yad, I have to string together Ha'omer l'chavera, when you say to your friend. Now what you're going to do, according to Shmuel in our Mishnah, is take a selection from any one of the first phrases, Mudranim mimcha, Mufreshanim mimcha, Merchokanim mimcha, add it then to Shani ochalach and Shani tolim lach, then and only then do you have a Yad. That is enough of a fragment sentence that creates a Yad. Anything less than that is no good. Why? Because according to Shmuel, the Yad has to be a Yad HaMochiach. Even though it's a fragment sentence, it still has to be more than 50% clear. I know it's a made-up number, but it has to be pretty clear in terms of what your intention was when you made such a sentence. Then and only then is it going to be considered a Yad, and then and only then is there going to be Isser. That's the Sheet of Shmuel. That's how he reads our Mishnah. It goes against the Braisa. It's a machlokes Tanaim. Shmuel is siding with one of those two positions. Adkan, we're going to stop here.